Jobs data for August comes out and disappoints. That and more coming up on the Marketplace Midday Update.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
Employment numbers for August came out this morning. 96,000 jobs were created last month. That's far less than was forecast. The unemployment rate did tick down a bit to 8.1%. We bring in Mitchell Hartman now for a quick synopsis of the report. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Stacey.
So, Mitchell, what are we seeing in this report?
Well, like you said, 96,000 new jobs. Economists have been predicting more like 130,000.
Yeah.
As always, there are some sectors continuing to hire. Healthcare up by 17,000 jobs. Professional and business services up 27,000. Eating and drinking establishments, I guess that's waiters and such, up about the same. And we had some disappointments. Manufacturing was down 15,000. Temp employment also fell. That's probably a sign permanent hiring also isn't about to ramp up. And government down another 7,000. That's state and local government layoffs, including teachers. A final note, unemployment was nearly 25% for teenagers. 40% of the unemployed have been looking for 6 months or longer.
Thank you, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
For some analysis of these numbers, we turn now to Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So, Chris, what's your reaction to this report?
Well, it's disappointing. You know, it's especially disappointing because yesterday we had some job numbers that looked quite a bit better than this, but these are the official data, and this is what it shows. The mix of jobs, not so hot. We had big losses in manufacturing, actually the biggest decline since the summer of 2010. We had losses in mining, which is people who are exploring for oil and gas. That's down because natural gas prices are down. The service sector held up okay. Government cut jobs too. But, you know, the thing is, there's just no standouts here. 100,000 jobs, it's not enough.
Well, Chris, what about the unemployment rate? It did tick down from 8.3% to 8.1%. That wasn't expected. Is that good news?
Well, you know, yeah, we sort of jumped on that one as at last a ray of sunshine in this report. But then
yeah.
If you look at it, what you see is that the unemployment rate was down only because about 370,000 people dropped out of the labor force. They're so discouraged, they stopped looking. The number 7 million now who are out of the labor force saying they want work is the highest since the government started tracking that statistic.
Well, Chris, will this report possibly push the Federal Reserve to pump more stimulus money into the U.S. economy?
It certainly increases the odds. And I think, you know, looking at the stock market, which is basically unchanged right now, that's what people are clinging to. That and the fact that, yeah, it's a bad number, but it's not dismal. I think Bernanke's going to have to fight hard for it, but he will get another round of stimulus before the end of the year.
That's Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke. And that is Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.
Today's jobs numbers are leaving the markets a little bit mixed this morning. There is some hope that the bad jobs data will inspire the Federal Reserve to pump more stimulus into the U.S. economy. Meanwhile, the country's job situation is weighing on this country's grandparents. Sunday is Grandparents' Day. And as Adrian Hill reports, the tough economy has grandparents contributing more time and money than ever.
There are a lot of reasons you might want to say thank you. New research from the University of Chicago finds more than half of grandparents provided some sort of care for their grandkids. And
grandparents are playing the role of the safety net for American families this time around.
Sandra Timmerman is with MetLife, which just released its own survey on grandparents. It finds grandma and grandpa are shelling out for more than the cute toy they spotted at Kmart.
The top of the list are things like clothing, basic needs, and education.
Amy Goyer is with AARP.
What we find often is that grandparents will sacrifice their own retirement savings. Many times they will not be thinking as much about their own financial security if their grandkids have needs.
not always the best way to go. Goyer says financially stable grandparents can be a great gift down the road. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Ford Motor Company has announced plans to introduce more models into Europe, including the iconic Mustang. The timing seems a little strange because Ford is expected to lose more than $1 billion in Europe this year. Joining me now to talk about this is Krish Bhaskar with automotive research consultancy Myaru. Good morning, Krish.
Good morning.
Krish, given that Ford has lost so much money in Europe already, is it a smart move for them to start releasing new models into that market?
Well, what Ford's trying to do is, given that sales in the whole of Europe are beginning to decline, what Ford wants to do is make the best use of the capacity. So trying to release new or additional or freshened models is one way of stimulating Ford sales in a declining market. And that way, given that they've opened new capacity in Romania for the new Ford B-Max, they can try and keep capacity utilization very high against competitors such as General Motors, who are probably going to suffer quite a big decline.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like they see this as an opportunity to invest in Europe and get a strong foothold while other American companies may be backing out?
Ford and General Motors already have a strong foothold. Hmm. This is a case where they're trying to increase their market share in a declining market. And Ford have decided to do this by new models, additional models, refreshing models. And that way they hope to increase their market share and keep their sales up.
Do you think it will work? Do you think Europeans will start buying Mustangs?
Oh, yes. You know, 15 to 17 new refreshed or additional models in Europe by 2015 has got to have some impact. It sets a real challenge just when the traditional European companies are really suffering and are likely to adopt the traditional solution of cutting products, cutting models, cutting expenditure. Ford's up the ante by actually going in a way it is investing more, but not that much. By investing more and giving new products, it's up the ante. It's going to be very difficult for any other competitor to match.
Krish Bhaskar is a professor at automotive research consultancy Myaru. Krish, thank you.
Thanks.
Hurricanes, wildfires, hailstorms, all the wild weather in the past few years has taken a toll on homeowners' insurance rates. For many, premiums are up 10% or more over last year. And that doesn't always mean more coverage, as Dan Bobkoff explains.
Merle Scheiber filed his first ever hail claim this summer when a storm pummeled his roof.
And I actually got to experience firsthand dealing with the insurance company.
Scheiber is not your typical insurance customer. He's South Dakota's insurance regulator. He didn't have any surprises dealing with the company, but like many of us, even he says he doesn't look at the policy when it comes in the mail.
Right, so you don't even read your own policy?
Basically, I don't. I know pretty much what's in it, but no, I don't even read mine when I get it.
And if he doesn't, what about the rest of us? Many will just notice the bill.
One thing that will get consumers screaming loudly is a rate increase.
Amy Bach heads the consumer group United Policyholders. She says that's why many companies are changing what they cover, trying to keep premiums down, even as the policy itself is less valuable.
But reducing coverage in legalese is something that most consumers will miss.
So that mold coverage you thought you had, it might be gone. Hail damage? Your deductible for that might be higher. Instead of replacing your wood floors with the same quality, now you might just get what's available. Daniel Schwartz studies the industry at the University of Minnesota, and he says policies are being hollowed out.
Usually people don't even find out that they have less coverage until they end up having a claim and they get denied coverage on that basis.
Gene Salvatore of the Insurance Information Institute says the companies aren't trying to hide anything.
They'll put something that's clearly stated in writing so that the policyholders should understand what the changes in the policy are.
She says customers should ask if they're not sure what the changes mean. That way, you won't be left with less coverage than you thought. In New York, I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
The San Antonio School District started making its lunches healthier with the goal of fighting obesity. They ended up making a lot of money. Andrew Oxford has that story.
It's lunchtime at Lady Bird Johnson High School in San Antonio. Hundreds of ravenous teenagers are crowding into the cafeteria, and if you're expecting fruits out of a can and microwaved cheeseburgers, you would be wrong. Louisa Cates plans the menus for the school district. She showed me around.
Here's a little marinated cucumber salad for them to try something new and different, and a variety of apples, peaches. You know, peaches are in this week, so we could buy peaches, oranges.
Across the country, school cafeterias are rolling out healthier menu items to counter an obesity epidemic. What schools may not have expected was that a healthier menu could also mean a healthier bottom line.
So there was a greater profit in the schools that implemented the healthier nutritional goals.
Roberto Trevino works at the Social and Health Research Center in San Antonio. He just completed a 3-year study of 42 middle schools around the country. Half of them changed their menus to include more fresh fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, while cutting out high-calorie desserts and sugary drinks.
There was no negative impact on the finances of the school. Both sets of schools were profitable, but the intervention schools made $1.1 million more profit than the control schools.
While schools may have worried that fruits and vegetables would just rot on the shelf if they ordered more, Trevino says it's all about how you sell it. In the study, schools and students were encouraged to really market the more nutritious items.
It was peer pressure that was producing these changes on the children to go into line and consume the healthier meals.
So what's the big seller at Lady Bird Johnson High School this week? Cates says the cafeteria's manager has sold out of kiwi.
She had to get a third delivery this week of, just to get keep up with the fresh fruit choices with the kids.
Whatever the hot item is next week, you can be sure it won't come out of a can. In San Antonio, I'm Andrew Oxford for Marketplace.
And finally, a little something you can tell that cubicle mate who switched to green tea. Norway's National Institute of Occupational Health did a study of people working at computers, and it turns out coffee drinkers were far less likely to experience pain in their wrists, shoulders, and necks than non-coffee drinkers. Looks like I will be sticking to my 4 cups a day. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.